The guns they are smoking. It's the news. According to me. It seems like it's been weeks since the last show. I think it's because it's been weeks since the last show. I did a show last week and didn't get it posted. But this today, I'm going to post this show. By hook or by crook, I'll be posting a show. Good morning, Monday morning. May is already almost half over. It's May 8th, 7:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm recording a show for you, my loyal listeners. And I apologize for the fact that I have not had a show for so long. I know some of you probably are going through withdrawals and having issues and having to seek treatment. But nonetheless, never fear, I am back. I'm here to tell you what's in my cup. By the way, just to keep you updated on what was in my cup the last couple of weeks, I had no cup. There was basically nothing in my cup. I had random cups here and there, but nothing in the morning. Not my morning cup, normal cup. I have returned to the cup. I have a cup of chai, vanilla chai with vanilla creamer. But I also have a backup cup with sweet tea in it. Homemade, by the way, sweet tea. Not just any sweet tea. Homemade sweet tea. I made this yesterday. I made this sweet tea yesterday. Yes. And it is fresh. Yeah. I was coming home from church. I've been helping with this one church over in Middlebury. Need a little help with their worship team. So I've been, I'm not leading it. They actually have a really good worship pastor, doing an awesome job. But they didn't; they were unable to. They just don't have much in the way of. They're trying to start this contemporary service, more contemporary, and so they're looking for team members. Well, they just don't have enough people right now to play. So I kind of step in when I can when I'm home. So I get home on Saturday morning. Actually, I was actually home before about noon. I was home. And, I stopped off at a meeting and ended up actually getting home at about around 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, something like that. Got my yard mowed, which I plan to do again. I'm going to do it on Wednesday just because it's just growing like crazy right now. So I have to do that. I head out again on Thursday. It looks like I will be in somewhere. I don't know where. Is it Dallas? I can't remember where I'll be. What my schedule says. I'll look it up here while we're talking. In the meantime, I do have this backup cup here, my sweet tea. But I ended up back home here, in plenty of time and get some things done. And now I've got off until Wednesday. I head out early Thursday morning. Not exactly. Looking forward to this next week. The pinnacle of stress will be upon this week, and not because it's going to be a tough week necessarily. It's just there's a potential of things, all kinds of things going wrong. Just because they can, and so we'll see what happens with all that. However, it will be stressful, and I'm hoping to get. Here's where I'll be. Let's see, I'll be in Little Rock. Really? Seriously? Going to Little Rock on Thursday. Apparently, I'm going to be overnight in Little Rock, Arkansas. And then, looks like Rochester, New York, I guess that is. On Friday. Saturday night, I will be in Fayetteville, which actually is, I kind of like Fayetteville. I was in Fayetteville last week, actually. I kind of like Fayetteville. It's not too bad of a spot there. So I'll be in Fayetteville. Yeah, most of the day, it looks like I'll be in Fayetteville. And then of course, the next day, I will be in Dallas on Sunday. So a little bit of traveling around to do here this next week. It looks like I'll be, see what time to get in there. Oh, yeah, this is decent time. And hopefully getting back home on Monday. That's the plan at this point. So we'll see how all that goes. I will certainly keep you posted. Now, it looks almost as if here, that's looking at the schedule, I may be able to keep some shows going on Thursday and Friday. There will probably not be a live show on Friday, this Friday, but there will be shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, for those of you who know. After that, it's Thursday morning. I'm pretty sure there will not be a show. However, there might be one in the afternoon, late afternoon. If it looks like I'm not going to be able to have a show on Friday, I will probably have a show in the evening on Thursday. And if I get that done, then I will have a show. I either be posted on Friday morning or I'll be posted for Thursday evening. So one of the two. There'll be four shows this week if all goes well. If all goes well. Monday morning, there might be a show Monday morning. The following Monday. So, and all of that following week, probably. Now, I don't know about the live show Friday thing, may be a while because of the rotation of my schedule. Fridays are all of a sudden are probably going to be busy. But I don't know that for a fact, but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's enough of that housekeeping stuff. Let's get on with it. Smoking Guns. There is an event I'm going to call it an event. The event that happened was some emails that there is some evidence now to some things that happened. And the fact that the media is not talking about it, Fox is one of the only people talking about it. Of course, nobody's listening to Fox anymore. This is bombshell stuff. And I don't like to use that kind of thing. Everybody uses a bomb. Everybody's looking for clickbait. I don't like to do that. But this is absolute amazing scandal stuff. You want to talk about affecting an election and the conspiracy that happened here. Not a conspiracy theory. This is a conspiracy. These people conspired against our government. They lied. It was a lie perpetrated by the people at the top that we're supposed to trust. Now, here's my take on this whole thing. Of course, the spin never stops in Washington. They try to just go from one thing to the next. So here's the spin, the way they try to operate this thing. If you recall back to the debates between Trump and Biden, now the first debate, people didn't like Trump in the first debate. There were people who were borderline Trump voters who actually were put off by his first debate because he just went after Biden with Trump, the way Trump is. He went after him. He was much more presidential and much more calm in the second debate. People actually went, this is the kind of guy. Why wasn't he like this in the first debate? Here's the thing. There's a reason why Trump is passionately mad, upset, fiery in his attack on Joe Biden. Because he knows the criminal that this guy is. He knows everything about this guy. And he knows everything about this administration and the way they're acting, the way these Democrats have been. They just have their claws into everything, and the deep state, if you want to call it that, for lack of a better term, these bureaucrats that they have filtered their way into the intelligence agencies and everything else that's there, the FBI. Did anybody happen to notice that someone testified the other day in Congress, before Congress, from the FBI, and said that there are over a million cases? Over a million cases of the FBI violating people's civil rights. Unlawful search and seizure. cases against them right now. I got to tell you, the reputation of the FBI right now, it's pretty pathetic. It's really pathetic. They apparently, the only code that they have, this idea that the end justifies the means, apparently is now their main common strategy. It's their thing. And just to prove that point, this is the way they're acting. So Blinken, who has been under the gun recently for this supposed conspiracy, conspiring with these 51 former intelligence agents and heads of the intelligence agencies, who wrote this letter, and Dan Coats is one of them, and Dan Coats was supposedly a Republican from my state. I have never trusted that guy. Never. Apparently, all these former intelligence agents and intelligence people were pulled together by Blinken and a fellow by the name of Morrell. And they now have email evidence of this. Because one of the emails was sent to one of these agents and they leaked it. They were putting together a coalition to give Joe Biden a pushback on a talking point for the debate. They needed this letter with all these former intelligence agencies, agent people. To push back on Trump's allegations of the Hunter laptop. Now, think about this. Now, I know that, okay, let's back up here for a second. This was not Joe Biden's idea. Joe Biden didn't come up with this idea. Joe Biden doesn't come up with ideas. Joe Biden is a, not just a sock puppet. If you ever like got out of your car at a street corner or at a, you know, when you parallel park, you know, you get in there, you parallel park. If anybody knows how to parallel park anymore, you park your car and you get out and look at the side of the curb there, and there's a sock. Looks like the one sock that got away. That sock that you're missing when you do the laundry, he got out and he didn't make it. Sock is there on the street, didn't make it. It's just, you know, once in a while you'll see it, like an old dirty sock there. Soggy, kind of just been run over several times. And that's the sock that they used to make Joe Biden, the puppet. That's the kind of sock puppet he is. So we have, I don't know. I'm just kidding, Joe. No joke. It's weird to me when Joe Biden says something that's a serious statement. I mean, it's like a serious allegation. You know, no joke. Was I laughing? Not a joke. I hope it's not a joke. We're talking about something like that. He throws those in the most inappropriate moments. Anybody ever notice that? He did another thing the other day where he sniffed some girl's hair, and it was creepy. Oh, it was so creepy. He acted like he was going to give the kid a kiss, and then he just sits there and sniffs the hair. There's something wrong with this guy. Speaking of allegations, we're going to get into this whole Trump allegation stuff, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But first, I want to get this whole thing with the Blinken Morrell issue here. We have these emails, and it's obvious that they colluded to discredit the truth about the Hunter laptop. Now, think about this. Now, there have been a lot of people pulled. Well, that didn't matter because they weren't actual concurrent They weren't current intelligence agents. Really. So if they don't matter, then why did you put together a coalition of 51 of them to push back? Why would you even mention this letter if they don't matter? Why would you go out and get these guys to sign this letter so that you could use it as a talking point in the debate if those people didn't matter? You didn't happen to mention that when you were quoting that they signed this letter. Well, I have 51 former intelligence agents. I think actually Joe said 50. I think there was actually 51. 50 former intelligence agents signed this letter saying it's Russian disinformation. No, he didn't say it has. Joe didn't say in his little speech, in his little tirade to push back, to use their term, on Trump. He didn't use their terminology of has all the earmarks. He said it's Russian disinformation. So he even misrepresented their statement. But that's all part of the plan. That was just Joe. Joe just misspoke there. Well, that little misspeak about disinformation, the disinformation was these guys signing this letter. This just gets back to another thing. Just every time they accuse somebody of something, it's more true now than ever. I totally believe this now more than ever. When they start accusing you of something, they're the ones doing it. That's where they come up with the idea. Well, this is part of a Russian plot. Hillary Clinton was the first one who said that. She's the first one I ever heard say anywhere on any news program that the 2016 election was lost because Trump colluded with Russia. And she's the one who paid for the Steele dossier. It came out of her campaign funds. She was the one who colluded with the Russians. Christopher Steele gathered information supposedly from Russian operatives. He made the whole thing up. He never went, I don't think he even went to Russia. I don't even think he made one phone call to anybody in Russia. These are all stories that he probably heard from somebody else or just flat made this stuff up. Out of thin air, who knows? Probably stories that he's heard. This is where we're at with this stuff. So these guys, they go off and they get these 50 people to sign this letter. Joe Biden uses it in the debate. Of course, it just sets Trump off. Again, this is what he's saying. Russia, Russia, Russia. I can't believe he's... This was Trump's response. And of course, the reporter backed him on this in all the news broadcasts. Of course, then after that said, oh, this is all Russian information. They all went right. They bought it hook, line, and sinker, not because they were duped, but because that's what they wanted to believe. They were probably privy to inside information about this is what we're going to do to protect the president on this. Because the end justifies me. Now, these guys, I'm pretty sure they didn't feel bad about this at all. They just knew that they had to get Trump out of there. Anything justified the end. Again, the end justifies the means. They don't care if they have to lie, cheat, and steal. It's not a part of their moral code. Their only moral code is, we got to get this mission accomplished. I don't care by, you know, how we have to do that. President Lincoln said, let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. This administration and these people who are far from Lincoln, who they claim is their favorite president. There were some things I didn't like about Lincoln. But just you know, side note. These people Barack Obama was once asked who his favorite president was. Well, he didn't say himself.
No, it's me. I said, well, of course it's me. I'm my favorite president. Who could be better than me?
No, he didn't say that. He said Abraham Lincoln. There's a reason for that. There's a whole thing behind that whole thing of why he would say Abraham Lincoln. Now, Abraham Lincoln happened to be a Republican. Of course, he's a dead Republican, so he's you know, Democrats think the only good Republican is a dead Republican, apparently. So you have this issue here with these guys all, you know, getting together, doing this whole thing. This was collusion to affect an election. And it did. That problem is, this actually did have measurable effects on the election. There are many, many people today, I think it was 20%, it was close to 20% of the people who voted for Biden said they would not have voted for Biden had they known about the Hunter Biden laptop being a credible issue. There were a large portion of that 20% were actually very upset and mad, because they were actually mad at Trump for coming up with this Russian collusion thing. But they thought he really did come up with this laptop, that he just made it up, or that he they believe that he actually paid somebody to come up with this. Come to find out, it was legitimate. Now there are some people on the left right now who are not happy with Joe Biden at all. Hardcore leftists. Now I'm talking normal people. I'm not talking about the politicians, the AOCs, and the squad, all those people. I'm talking about, there are guys who have podcasts and YouTube channels who have been Democrats, who didn't like Trump, who now realize what is going on. And they're mad. Now, whether or not they will swing back to Trump or not, I don't know. Boy, I could go down a rabbit hole here. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep going here with what we're doing. Because there's some other things that are pretty important that I want to get to. And it has to do with the Trump case right now. One of the Trump cases, that this whole thing with this lady who was accusing him of 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was, being inappropriate in a store. This woman is psycho. But I'll get into that in a minute. Now, the question here, and here's the question about this whole Antony Blinken Morrell thing. Okay, so we now have evidence that this happened. Now, what they're trying to spin off on this and deflect. In football, you know, you do this thing where you get hit, you spin, it actually spins the guy who's hitting you. When you spin around as you get hit, sometimes you can break away from it because as they're hitting you, you're deflecting their energy force. Not the farce. May the farce be with you. No, it kind of deflects the impact. It's a physics thing. It doesn't always work. Sometimes you just spin around and hit the ground. But this is what they do when they get attacked like this. They try to spin off what's going on. So now they're saying, well, these guys weren't actual intelligence agents, so it didn't matter. It's not important. Now, of course, that's not the way they treated it when they got the letter, as I was saying earlier. But here's the problem. And this is really what it boils down to. Now, if I'm not saying we should forget about it, but we need to move on, kind of stick this away, set it aside, and stop talking about it if, in fact, there's not going to be any accountability. Because this is my concern here is, as usual, there will be no accountability at all. None of these people will be held accountable for what they did. McCarthy in the House supposedly has all these investigations going on. They continue to deflect off of that as well. Christopher Wray, for example. Well, I can't comment because that's an ongoing investigation. Well, that's an internal affairs matter. We can't talk about that right now. It's an internal employee matter. It's an HR thing. Well, I can't comment on that because we have the information is classified. It's sources and methods. I don't know that there's a tree tall enough. Let me just say it that way for these people. I think you know where I'm going with that. It is despicable the way they're treating the American people right now. We pay these people's salaries. They work for us. And they're treating us as if we're incompetent. Well, you know, you can get the impression that most of the nation is just sitting around on Twitter and doing stupid things. We're just incompetent boobs. And we're not. The majority of the nation, they want to isolate you. It's all part of the plan. Now, I'm not saying that there's somebody making these plans on their own. This gets back into my book that I'm working on again. And after this week, after I get this week over with, there will be a lot more time to work on those things because I will have a lot less stress in my life. Well, the first month is going to be a little bit stressful because I'll be kind of delving into, I'll be on my own doing some things that I got a lot of responsibility. Let's just put it this way. I got a lot of responsibility, but I will also have more thought time. My brain will have more bandwidth. Let's put it that way, to get some things done. And there's some things that need to be done, and I'm going to start working on them diligently. And one of them is the book. And this is part of the book here is talking about how this stuff happens and the motive behind it. It's a very simple principle, but it's at the same time, it's obvious. It's right there in front of us, but sometimes I don't see it. And I've decided that some people, you know, that they're writing books about silly, stupid stuff. And I'm going to write this book. You might think that it's oversimplified. Principle, you may read it and say, yeah, it's duh, you know, duh. But I think there's a lot of people out there who don't even take a moment to think about this stuff sometimes, something that's right in front of them, what's really happening here. So the conspiracy, as it were, is right here in front of us. We have this very obvious issue of these guys doing this stuff. Now, whoever came up with this idea wasn't a novel idea. This has probably been used before, probably be used again, kind of stuff. But it tells you something about the political climate within our intelligence agencies and how they are willing to do certain things. This is case number two, big case number two. Case number one was the Peter Strzok issue. What was going on behind the scenes and all the communication that they had and the vitriol that they had for Donald Trump. And somehow that political, he can sit there before Congress and say, no, my political opinion didn't affect my work. Really? What part of your text did you not read? So you were able to turn that switch off and be a completely different person, completely amoral, non-biased, and then go only when you were on your phone tweeting, you had those passions and those things that drove you that way. Yeah. There's a lot of problems here, folks, and they're not unsolvable. Let me just give you this: the hope, you can have hope that there's going to be some changes coming. Now, it may take an extremely radical is not the right word. An extremely vigorous process to get things straightened out. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be messy. Have you ever cleaned up a problem before? Have you ever had a problem like, you know, let's say the lights in your garage aren't working right. Well, yeah, I'm going to fix the lights. It's not just the fixtures, it's the wiring. So now it's not just the wiring. It's the whole electrical thing in the box. You start digging into the problem and you realize we're going to have to rip some stuff apart. This is going to be messy before it gets better. It all looks halfway decent right now, but it doesn't work right. But behind everything is where we have to fix, and that means tearing out drywall. That means tearing some things apart. Making a mess before we can clean it up and fix it and make it right again. That's what we're about to experience in this nation. if we're willing to fix it, it's going to be messy first. It's just the way it's going to be. It's not going to look good. I think it's going to take a second-term president to do that. Not Joe Biden. Because he's into it up to his knees and doesn't even know it. Actually, he's over his head. That's if he's standing on his head, he's up to his knees. So, that's what we have. Now, let's move forward here for a moment and talk about the case that Donald Trump is going through right now. And of course, they've released this video. This is hilarious. I wish I had the video in front of me. I had planned on having some audio, and it's for some reason it just disappears. I'll hear this audio stuff, and then it's gone. And I'll listen to it. It's on somebody else's podcast, and they've got video of this stuff, or they've got audio of this stuff, and then you go to look for it, and it's already been scrubbed. However, it's still on their channel. The problem is I'd have to wade through their entire 1 hour show to find this information. Hopefully I'll have more time to do those kinds of things in the near future. However, and there have been a couple of debates I'd like to talk about, too. Piers Morgan had a really good one with somebody from Britain. And then there was another one from this guy who was he's a virologist. By the way, I'm not a virologist. I'm not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a construction worker. I'm also not a financial counselor or coach. But I know some. I know some of those people, though. Does that matter? No. So I ended up... Where was I going with that? So we had this issue with Trump, and Trump had this deposition apparently that this was back from November or something. It came out. Well, he kind of came back on this lawyer. This lawyer is asking him. So when you referred to, you said she's not your type, or that you didn't like her. What are you saying by that? Did you mean by her physical appearance? Well, yeah, everything about her, her physical appearance, the way she acted, everything about her. She's not my type. I wouldn't like her. Just like I wouldn't like you. You're not my type either. This is being paraded around by the left as some kind of a misogynist statement. You know, if you don't find somebody attractive, you just simply don't find them attractive. There are some people in this world that the world would say that, like, they're on the covers of magazines, and I would say I don't find that attractive. Am I being misogynist by saying that? Is a man who thinks he's a woman or is infatuated with this idea of how he looks as a woman, when he looks at a woman and says, I'm not attracted to that, is he being misogynist? Well, no, because he's trans. You can't expect him to like a woman. Oh. But some guy who is heterosexual, who simply looks at a woman and says, I don't find that attractive. She's not my type. That's misogynist, apparently. No, that's called honesty. I don't find you attractive. Sorry. Nothing about you is attractive to me. Your brain, your looks, whatever it is, your attitude. And all of a sudden, this is now illegal. Look at the monster this guy is. I could give you 1,000 quotes of things that Joe Biden has said to people that were 10 times more offensive, but that doesn't matter because it's Joe Biden. No, it's just old Uncle Joe. Now, there's two words here I want to mention. Two words that I think will sum up this entire thing. Now, do you remember so this lady's coming out with these accusations. Now, apparently there's somebody else that's like a character witness in this process. This has been a weird, weird trial. And the people there's a lawyer that I listen to, Robert Govea. He has brought up several times how weird it is that this judge interacts with the case. He will help a witness. He will rephrase their statement for them and interject things. And it's very, very strange. I mean, it's so strange. It's like, this is stuff that I believe it's, well, first it's unprofessional, but I would think it, there's got to be something about this that's like, judge, you're influencing the jury here. It's got to be some kind of malpractice going on here, because it is—it's outstanding. I mean, it's—I've never. I'm sure it's happened. I've never seen. I've never been privy to the or watched anything like this, where the judge interacts and puts words in the. This has happened like 4 or 5 times now in this trial. This happens typically when there's bias from a judge, and it just kind of comes out. It doesn't. He wouldn't think of it as bias, but he's trying to make this trial fair. Well, in his idea, a fair trial is, you know, we're going to give you a fair trial, and then you're going to hang. Oh, so it doesn't matter whether it's fair or not. I'm going to hang. Like, you've already decided I'm going to hang. Now, what's happened here is we have these people coming out of the woodwork now from 40 years ago, 30 years ago, saying that Trump molested them or raped them or whatever it was. This other lady, I think, was on an airplane. This is bizarre. This is a bizarre story, folks. I've been on a lot of airplanes. There have been a couple times where I was moved to first class because I was in a pilot's uniform. I was working as an airline pilot at the time. I got a coach seat, and a flight attendant would come back and say, there's a seat open in first class if you'd like it. Well, gee, I kind of like being stuck between these two, you know, 300-pound guys, you know, one on each side of me here, and I can't even breathe. This is great. So you're saying I could go up there and sit and sprawl out and have ice cream? Boy, that just doesn't sound fun at all. Yeah, I'm up out of my seat before they even get the sentence done. And I'm saying, which just point me in the right direction. I'll be right there. Now, I have, in all the times that's happened to me, I have never seen that happen to a passenger. Never. Now, maybe it's happened to some. It is very, very rare. Once you're on an airplane and you're in your seat, especially since 9/11. Before 9/11, I think it was a little bit more, there's a little bit more freedom there for the flight attendants to rearrange people. However, since 9/11, it doesn't happen much. My parents, I believe, were moved from coach to first class one time on a non-rev ticket. In other words, they had travel benefits. And they were going somewhere. And because they have a list, the purser has a list of all the people who were there and, you know, how they're traveling. I believe that it was on United at the time. I believe United actually had notes on all the passengers and even on the non-revers. And so they knew that my parents were parents of a flight crew member. And they actually moved them to first class, gave them a bottle of wine, treated them like royalty, and then sent them on their way. My parents just thought that's the way they were always. Oh, this is nice. This is the way we always get treated. No. They were doing you a big favor there, and they deserve every minute of it. They deserve that. In my opinion, I think that's the way flight crew at that time flight crew looked at it that way. They really respected and honored parents, and that was just such a blessing to me. Have them treated that way. So So yeah, we, this doesn't happen. Well, this lady supposedly was given a seat up in first class, and then Trump started molesting her, basically. And she went back to coach because she was so offended. And then she stayed on the plane afterwards because she didn't want to have to confront Trump again. So she was one of the last people off, so she wouldn't have to confront him. Did she confront him the first time? This is bizarre. It's a bizarre story. First of all, was Trump ever on a commercial airliner in first class? I don't know how long Trump has owned his own airplane. I guarantee you it's been a long time. Of course, she doesn't know. Of course, this is going to hurt you. Here we go again. The lady who this happened to in the store where she was trying on a dress or something, and he got her in the changing room or something and tried to rape her. She says, well, it wasn't rape, but it hurt. Okay, what? So then this lady, none of them have actual dates. Traumatic experience in their life. They'll never forget it. They're writing a book about it right before an election. However, they don't remember exactly when it happened or where it was. Well, they kind of remember where it was, but they're not sure when it happened or exactly like what time of day it was. Okay. So we can't corroborate this story and say, okay, Trump was in this particular place on this particular date, and yes, it could potentially happen. Now, there's two words here that come to mind that hopefully people remember this. Brett Kavanaugh. People came out of the woodwork. The left became frenzied with this guy, thinking that he was some kind of monster who raped people in college. He's a rapist. If you remember Miss Ford, who came forward. I can't remember where it was exactly. I can't remember what the date was. It was in some house on one side of town. I don't remember anything about it. I didn't tell anybody about it afterwards until, 10 years later. Because I was so embarrassed by it. But then all of a sudden Trump ran for president, and I started remembering this. Or Brett Kavanaugh was appointed to be a Supreme Court judge, and all of a sudden I remembered it. This happened, but I don't remember exactly who was there and everything stuff. But I know he was there, and he was the one who started it. He's the monster. Of course, the left went into a frenzy over this guy. To this day, everybody thinks he's a rapist. We have documented evidence of Bill Clinton, in fact, admitting doing things that he shouldn't have done. He had an affair for 12 years with Jennifer Flowers. He admits to that. We have state police with records of when he was in, they were watching him having affairs with women. There are women who have accused him of rape, credible witnesses who know the exact time and date and every place, everything else about the event, where he was actually at. And Bill Clinton is one of the best presidents that have ever been on the planet. In fact, his wife should be a president. They're just royalty in their eyes. Joe Biden, one of his own staff members. I can't even talk about this one because it's infuriating to me that this guy is not in prison today for what he did to this young lady. And I guarantee you it wasn't the only one. She wasn't the only one. I guarantee you this wasn't his first time doing something like this. And the news media will have nothing of it. They won't talk about it. Or they call it a conspiracy theory. It's Russian disinformation. And apparently there's enough people in this country that just keep buying into this hook, line, and sinker thing. Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, yeah, I got all these witnesses all of a sudden coming out of the woodwork. There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people now. All of a sudden, one comes forward and a whole bunch of others come forward. Oh, yeah, you did this to me. I don't remember when it was. It was between this lady with this airplane thing. When she got called up to first class and he tried to work his way over into her seat somehow or whatever it was. I don't know what he did. It happened between 1991 and 1999. Oh, okay. You happen to know the flight number? Well, no, because I can't even tell you the date or the year. I can't even tell you barely tell you the decade. You sure you didn't just have a dream about this? Because something that's so traumatic that you can remember 40 years later, 30 years later. You'd think you'd remember what flight it was on, where you were going, the date that it was. You can look back in your records of some kind, or what, just your calendar, whatever you had. What event? What were you going to? Where were you going? Where were you going? And what year would have it been? What year would have it been? Do you even know the year? Now I can piece together things of when I was on an airplane and when I was taking flights every day all the time. I can still piece together what year it was. Oh, no, I don't know what year it was. It was one of those 10 years right there. I was on a commercial airline. He was in first class. Huh. This is their playbook. And the people around this whole thing, we don't seem to figure this out. It's just, here we go again. And now they're coming up with more allegations about things. More cases about stuff, about this phone call that he made to the governor of Georgia. Can't you find me some votes? They find votes all the time. This happens all the time. Now, well, we've got these, you know, itinerant ballots or whatever we've got, you know, that kind of thing. The difference is Kemp, I think he's still wants to be the governor of Georgia. Still wants to be president someday. I think he's still going to run. I think at some point he's going to run for president. He knows he can't compete with Trump. So he's trying to knock Trump out so he can pave the way for him to be whoever wants that feather in their cap. These are the people who like brag. I want to be the guy who takes Trump out. I don't care what I have to do it. I'm not going to prosecute all these people who are actually committing crimes here in New York. But by golly, I'm going after Trump because that's going to be the launching pad for my political career. This is how these people think. Or if they're not thinking it, it's certainly their motivation. They don't even realize it. If they're not unaware of themselves that much, then that's, which is very possible. So we have the same thing happening here that happened to Brett Kavanaugh. Just think back to how vitriol, ridiculous, the protests that were going on. And by the way, these protests don't just pop out of nowhere. This protest that happened down in Tennessee recently where these guys were pushing police around and pushing candidates around, pushing the representatives around. But of course, that was a peaceful demonstration. That was just protesting. Bullhorns and yelling, encouraged by representatives who got expelled. And then, of course, that was all of a sudden that was racist. All this stuff goes on, and then they all of a sudden these protests just pop out of nowhere. And if you notice, most of the people in these protests are all about the same age. Most of them, a lot of times, are the same gender, as far as we know. I'm just going by appearance. I don't know what they think they are, but I can tell what they are. And they go about this stuff just spontaneously, all show up at a state house spontaneously.
Well, you know, Merrick Garland, you know, well, these people, they do things in the nighttime. We can't tell what they're doing, so we have no way of arresting.
Folks, I guarantee you these people are organizing on some kind of social media platform, on something. They're doing something to organize. They're not just all showing up spontaneously. I guarantee you that. And I guarantee you that the FBI and the NSA know exactly how these people are organizing and what they're all about and who's funding them. Because this isn't cheap either. Obviously, these people don't have jobs. They show up randomly throughout the day for weeks sometimes on end, protesting things. Do you have a job? Are you productive at all? Trevor Noah was recently, speaking of protests, Trevor Noah recently made this stupid statement. Really stupid. I mean, just this is just insanely stupid statement. Well, you know, what when people burn down the local Target, what effect does that have? Is that why is that having a good effect? Well, why is anybody asking the question? Maybe it is having. What if we didn't burn it down? Maybe it wouldn't have an effect. But he's asking this question of, how do you know that burning the Target down doesn't have a good effect? Maybe not burning it down has a bad effect. Doesn't have a good effect. What are you saying? Burn down your community so Target moves out, and then you blame the white man. Well, they're just racist. No. They can't afford to have a store there. Can you imagine what it's like to insure a store there? That's why a lot of mom and pop operations close up after they get, you know, burned down or robbed after the 100th time, shoplifted. They just can't afford it anymore. But they're racist for moving out. Yeah. Happy Monday. Hey, folks. How's it going? We have, my cup is almost, well, I guess there's still a little bit of chai in there. I do have a couple of errands I need to run this morning. So I need to be on my way. I'm going to post this show and be on my way. Now, however, I would like to mention that there's quite a few stories actually in the bin that I'd like to talk about. So this week I'll be talking about more of those. A couple of the interviews. This one interview is really interesting. It's between Piers Morgan and some anti-monarchist who claims white supremacy and colonialism. Colonialism apparently is a bad thing. Now, just because it's called colonialism, it's when one tribe or nation of people group moves into another area and kind of takes over, that's, you could call that colonialism, forming a colony. So we have one colony taking over another colony with their colonization, so to speak. These people act like it's only something that the crown has done, or that America has done, or the West has done. No. You don't understand. Tribes have taken over other tribes for thousands of years. People groups have been at war with other people groups since Cain and Abel. So, and potentially before that. So we have all this stuff happening, and they're wrapping it up in this rhetoric. And I don't think they realize the damage that they're doing to themselves and to the nation and to people in general and just to the harmony of people living at peace with each other. I don't think that they're, I hope that they don't, that they're just caught up in something that they don't realize they're caught up in. I hope they're not intentionally pushing this. Now, there are people behind the scenes, I believe, who do want to see racial division. They don't want it to stop. They this is part of their platform. This is who they are. They have to have it keep going because they're making money off of it. They're profiting off of it, or they have a political end to it. That's what they're looking for. They know they have to manipulate these groups to divide people up into these groups, because these groups have power and they can give this perception of being on their side when they're not actually on their side. They have no interest in their freedom. They have no interest in it. It's all about a political system that they're pushing, that they're trying to get backing for. They have an agenda underneath the table here. So anyway, so I'd like to talk about some of those things this week. As the week goes on, I'm sure there'll be more things unraveling. Again, if there's not going to be any accountability to this FBI thing and to the whole intelligence agency thing, then let's move on and go after the other things. Let's keep it on our back pocket, keep it close to the breast, and just file it away for another day. We can start pulling this stuff out and actually exposing it at the time that it needs to be exposed again, or bringing it up. Because in the meantime, more things are happening. We can get caught up in the rhetoric sometimes, I think, in the side and all the dust, without talking about the real issues, other issues. I don't think there's going to be any accountability to these 51 people. I just don't think there will be. And that's what it boils down to. There has to be accountability, and there isn't any. So where are we going, folks? Pray for the nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for each other. God bless, folks. Have a great week. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.